A Geologist's Winter Walk, an excerpt from Steep Trails, written by John Muir, narrated by Michael Scott, produced by ThoughtAudio.com. After reaching Turlock, I sped afoot over the stubble fields and through miles of brown Amazonia and purple Erigeron to Hopeton, conscious of little more than that the town was behind and beneath me and the mountains above and before me. On through the oaks and chaparral of the foothills to Coulterville, and then ascended the first great mountain step upon which grows the sugar pine. Here I slackened pace, for I drank the spicy, resiny wind, and beneath the arms of this noble tree I felt that I was safely home. Never did pine trees seem so dear. How sweet was their breath and their song, and how grandly they winnowed the sky! I tingled my fingers among their tassels and rustled my feet among their brown needles and burrs, and was exhilarated and joyful beyond all I can write. When I reached Yosemite, all the rocks seemed talkative and more telling and lovable than ever. They are dear friends and seem to have warm blood gushing through their granite flesh, and I love them with a love intensified by long and close companionship. After I had bathed in the bright river, sauntered over the meadows, conversed with the domes, and played with the pines, I still felt blurred and weary, as if tainted in some way with the sky of your streets. I determined, therefore, to run for a while to say my prayers in the higher mountain temples. "The days are sunful," I said, "and though now winter, no great danger need be encountered, and no sudden storm will block my return, if I am watchful." The morning after this decision, I started up the canyon of Tenaya, caring little about the quantity of bread I carried, for I thought, a fast and a storm and a difficult canyon were just the medicine I needed. When I passed Mirror Lake, I scarcely noticed it, for I was absorbed in the great Tissiack, her crown a mile away in the hushed azure, her purple granite drapery flowing in soft and graceful folds down to my feet, embroidered gloriously around the deep, shadowy forest. I have gazed on Tissiack 1,000 times, in days of solemn storms, and when her form shone divine with the jewelry of winter, or was veiled in living clouds. And I have heard her voice of winds and snowy, tuneful waters when floods were falling. Yet never did her soul reveal itself more impressively than now. I hung about her skirts, lingering timidly, until the higher mountains and glaciers compelled me to push up the canyon. This canyon is accessible only to mountaineers, and I was anxious to carry my barometer and clinometer through it to obtain sections and altitudes, so I chose it as the most attractive highway. After I had passed the tall groves that stretch a mile above Mirror Lake and scrambled around the Tenaya Fall, which is just at the head of the lake groves, I crept through the dense and spiny chaparral that plushes the roots of the mountains here for miles in warm green, and was ascending a precipitous rock front, smoothed by glacial action, when I suddenly fell, for the first time since I touched foot to Sierra Rocks. After several somersaults, I became insensible from the shock, and when consciousness returned, I found myself wedged among short, stiff bushes, trembling as if cold, not injured in the slightest. Judging by the sun, I could not have been insensible very long, probably not a minute, possibly an hour, and I could not remember what made me fall or where I had fallen from. But I saw that if I had rolled a little further, my mountain climbing would have been finished. For just beyond the bushes, the canyon wall steepened, and I might have fallen to the bottom. There said I, addressing my feet, to whose separate skill I had learned to trust night and day on any mountain. That is what you get by intercourse with stupid town stairs and dead pavements. I felt degraded and worthless. I had not yet reached the most difficult portion of the canyon, but I determined to guide my humbled body over the most nerve-trying places I could find. For I was now awake and felt confident that the last of the town fog had been shaken from both head and feet. I camped at the mouth of a narrow gorge which is cut into the bottom of the main